Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
Okay. Damn it. Okay, there we go.
Welcome fantasy and sports fans. We are here for our pre-draft baseball show on Saturday, April 1st, April Fool's Day. We are without our lead man, JP, today. But it is going to be Mark and I taking you through our preview of fantasy baseball.
Mark,
how are you today?
Well, I don't think they can hear me yet. I can't seem to get myself on here.
Okay, well, we're having some technical difficulties, so just kind of want to walk you guys through what we're looking to do today. We're going to make this a quick hour show, and we're just going to kind of go through our favorites and some of the ones we don't like. We might do like a little bit of a mock draft where we kind of go through like the first 8-10 rounds. Just to kind of give you guys an idea of how we, guys that we like and don't. So, I don't know when Mark's going to be ready here, but I'm sure he'll be able to chime in shortly.
Let's see here.
We are looking to.
Oh, that's mine now.
I'm unprepared.
All right. So,
how do you want to start this off?
Just maybe run through your strategy.
I'm going to start with our strategy, and this is kind of based on how our league works. And just to give our listeners a brief overview, this is a points league, and our lineups lock at the beginning of the week. So once your lineup is inputted Monday morning, it locks whenever the first game starts. You're kind of locked in for the rest of the week. We start a catcher, a first baseman, second baseman, third baseman, shortstop, a middle infield, which can be either second or short, a corner infield, which can be either first or third. We do three outfielders. A DH, which can be pretty much any hitter, same with a utility. And then we start five pitchers that are starting pitchers. And we also have two relief pitchers. And sometimes in our league, depending on their qualifications, those guys can qualify as starters, which has been a strategic advantage over the years in our league. So some of the points for hitters include 1 point for a single, two for a double, three for a triple, four for a homer. You get 1 point for a RBI, one for a run, three for a steal, a quarter point for an at bat.
Can you hear me when I talk at all?
Now I heard you.
You're hearing me on the headset now?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if everybody else can hear me. I'm hoping that they can. Let me just do a quick troubleshooting here and turn the volume on this, see if I can hear myself talking.
Okay.
No one likes to hear the girls talking about me.
Yeah, I got a pretty good echo going on in my ear. A quarter point for the at-bat, and then negative points include strikeouts, which is minus one. And then a pop ceiling is minus one as well. And then in pitching, you get, is it a third of a point for every?
Yeah, 1 point for every inning.
So it's a third of a point for each out. Then you get a point for a strikeout, a negative point for a walk, negative point for an earned run, negative point for a home run. 10 points for a win, 10 for a shutout, 10 for a complete game. On for the no hitter and perfect game. So I think it's 15 for the perfect game. Is it 15 or 10?
That's 15 for perfect game.
15 for a perfect game. So that's basically the gist of our scoring system. I know it's kind of unique compared to a lot of other leagues, but it should give you kind of a basic idea for a point in head-to-head lead.
So I think Mark and I are going to employ some different strategies.
You go grab your phone call.
We're going to take a small, quick changeover break here. We're having some technical difficulties, so just give us about a minute here.
You're listening to Sports Offensive with JP and Mark on blogtalkradio.com.
All right. Well, welcome back, folks. So basically, I'm not sure why I can't get recognized by the system here. And so it's going to be a creepy feedback echo because I'm hearing you. So I'm going to have to be calling.
There you are.
Well, there we go. Okay, now we got you on. So again, we're talking about our fantasy draft show. And what we have planned here is about an hour or so of randomizing our draft report. We're going to have the first round, or four round, through that. There are more graphics, and maybe you might see those numbers be different. So anyway, one of the first things I wanted to review, you know, I need to do a good job of covering all the points. We are on a head league, so you face one person each week, and it's not a category, you get a point for every type of action done. And then I got to give you one, the upper, and then the best record, of course, go on there and champion game.
So what I want to do real quick at the beginning is kind of run over my strategy that I developed through my research for this year. Basically, I'm thinking that first base is a position that you're going to want to get early, the first few rounds.
Same thing with starting pitcher.
And actually, if you're going to get two starting pitchers early.
I think you want to have three overall starters that you trust,
and then maybe screen pitchers for the other position. Now, what are you thinking? Do you want to go early on pitching, or are you willing to wait longer?
I'm not going to take a specific player available, but I'm trying to put them in a position. Now, again, this is going to be my typical strategy, but I'm going to draft out of the game.
I got you.
this is going to be an interesting draft coming up because I think we have more people than ever this year
who didn't have time to do a whole lot of draft prep.
So it'll be interesting to see if people draft better or worse in that regard. I'm not sure that we're going to know one way or the other until the season really gets moving.
Now,
we're going to be randomizing our draft order pretty soon here. We like to be that on the air to get an idea where we are.
Sure.
If things go as they usually do, then it means that Nate will have a top 3 pick. Mark will be stuck in the bone zone of 8, 9, 10, or 11, which I do almost every year of the entire draft.
Do you want to say
that if any of the co-fantasy players in our league are out there listening to the show,
we will not be giving you too much secret info for our later draft. But we think the first 4 or 5 rounds are more sensitive than the rest. So anybody from our league is
out there, say hello to them. Hello to her.
And Joanna
happens to be listening out at her vacation spot.
I'm not going to call that a vacation spot, but if you happen to be listening, hello to her as well.
And we hope everybody's having a wonderful day. What are you doing?
Now, if anyone wants to call me and ask a question, feel free to do so. The number is 929-477-3004. Again, 929-477-3204. You can also check us out on our Facebook page, Sports Defensive JP Mark. You can go to blog
and look up the Sports Defensive and find us there as well,
and the phone numbers. So feel free to do that at any time. We will be most willing to answer questions, unless they're coming from directly working on our fantasy and trying to get some heads of info.
In that case, you guys should have done your homework.
So going into the mock draft on the fake team.
They did three rounds, they did nine or twelve rounds. Unfortunately,
for some reason, their post of the later rounds are not up, but we do really want to focus on the early rounds, because this is where the clear are a consensus, but the order really is not. So one of the first players taken
in this draft was Mike Trout.
Now, Mike Trout
is not any kind of a surprise that he was taken.
Mike Trout is kind of a consensus number one pick.
Although, if you're a pure point league like ours, Altuve can make an argument to have him in that position. Mookie Betts can make an argument to have him in that position.
Kershaw
possibly could be an early pick. All these people have potential to be in that top spot. But I think in our league, to give an idea of how it might be a little bit different, in our league last year, Johnny Cueto was the top overall pitcher.
He scored 640 points. Matt Scherzer
had the exact same number, 640.
Rick Porcello at 620. That was the Cy Young Award winner in the American League. Chris Sale
is now moving to the Boston Red Sox with X612. Madison Bumgarner at 606. Corey Kluber, 591. That's the end of the 600-point pitchers.
As far as hitters, Mookie Betts is our number one hit, 793. As you may remember,
he hit a number of home runs, stole a lot of bases, lots of ribbies, lots of runs.
Just an amazing, probably should have been the MVP.
I don't think he was. But it was an amazing year. I don't remember who the MVP was last year.
It was Chris Bryant.
The American League Award. I can look up real quick.
Tell you here.
I don't know who it was.
Mike Trout.
So there you go. Mike Trout, because he was more valuable to the team, I'm sure, is how that happened. But anyway, Mookie Betts was our top overall scorer.
Are you in or are you following again?
That's probably what I mean. I like the number two, but Gotcha. And I mean, Trout has a phenomenal year, obviously, but I find Melvin to be the least risky of all the picks. But if I got my Trout number one or number two, I wouldn't be complaining at all. I think we're kind of in a consensus that we think third base players, Nolan Arenado and Chris Bryant, have become extremely more important in that four and five position. So.
Oh,
so I'm normally used. So, I mean,
you know,
I've missed the playoffs many times.
Bryce Harper
is a great question. The guy was otherworldly years ago.
Last year, I had good numbers.
Looking like he was a bad player.
He just wasn't a first round type forward, more a second round type forward.
Which is still a good player.
But it does hurt when you don't get that absolute no doubter
in the first round.
So where do you see him falling this year?
Is there any chance that he falls out of the first round?
I give you a
I don't think it's possible that he falls out of the first round, but I don't think it's possible that he can go as early as three or four.
So it depends on what your age is.
I think it was a 200 point swing. So that's huge. When you go from a 800 point player to a 600 point player, it's fantastic. It's just a 100 point player is going to take you to the playoffs. Like Randy Moss.
In fantasy football, his first three years, if you took him that year, you won your league every week, scored 40 points.
When you had Bryce Harper two years ago, every week he scored you 30 points. And that is huge in fantasy sports. It's usually because of injury.
So let's look at the other big time players that we want to ask about. The other one is Miguel Cabrera, first baseman for the Detroit Tigers.
He won a triple crown, not very long ago. Went into a two-year kind of drought where he went down in the 15s, and then last year, first back on the team with a 38 home run year. Conversely, his Bounced back to bad years, got married, hit up, and that must be a nice energizer because the guy had a phenomenal year. I didn't think it was going to be a good year. So, you know, there's a guy who got himself in trouble on Twitter, but who gets himself in trouble on Twitter, you know, a couple of days. So, Mickey Cabrera.
Is he first round pick? And we're talking about a 12 round team. I think he's a first round pick. I think he's a 15 or 16. So I think that's a great way to go.
What do you think?
I think he's probably
12.
I think he's a 12.
I think he's the last of the potentially massive guys who have done it before and done it multiple years. Now, in that same area, you're going to have Carlos Correa, you're going to have Josh Donaldson, you're going to have Pato, you're going to have Scherzer, you're going to have Blackman, and even a Trey Turner.
Now, there's another interesting name. Trey Turner, the hype on this guy is
stratospheric. I mean, granted, he had a very nice half season last year. But as we've seen, a lot of times, the guy that had a great half season then has a sophomore slump. But people don't seem nervous about this guy. And I think it's very odd because I could see him falling crazy down to earth. You notice a lot of times
the run plummet that second year and the steals drop down to earth. Now people are looking for that, trying to hold you on to that.
I have seen Trey Turner going in months as early as 11 or sometimes 10. Now, I would not pick this guy before late second round.
I would take Gray above him, or shortstop.
But what do you think? Do you think someone will take the height
because of how valuable steals are compared to their demand?
All it takes is money. Martin and I always talk about that. I believe that this one first year league that's going to buy it on the height. So I see him going early second. I think he's right around that number 15 pick.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take him out that early. I think he needs to get through a sophomore level. You're going to see the pitcher make an adjustment with him. He's going to make some video and a lot of what he's seen in the last year. So it's going to depend on how those are going to make the adjustment. And keep up that consistency. But
33 million, and 33 homers, and 3 homers, and that's a problem.
I think it's a good idea because baseball is so much a game of intention, right?
There's like you have to have all these games because one tiny change changes the outcome, and like you were saying, if you go through the long term.
Then eventually the numbers tend to even out. So again, I'm sorry that I can't get my headset working. I don't think it's sounding really well. I apologize. I don't know why in the world I can't get my USB. So the question I guess we have is pitching. In our league, pitching matters.
There are a chance to pitch a good game this year. So the thing with pitching in the league is a lot depends on the win, and there's a really difficult to predict how many game pitchers win. We know Kershaw's going to strike out 230 to 250 guys. Scherzer is going to strike out 230 to 250 guys.
Well, they could be in the same way, but it's not that. You dropped? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hearing you through my headset, so we're doing this through mostly Bluetooth, so sorry that I'm kind of off today.
Tomorrow we'll have our normal setup with our soundboard and everything, and everything should sound normal as we do our draft recap.
The way we'll do our draft recap.
How is it?
So our draft camp tomorrow, we're going to cover,
we're going to cover the Georgia Tech, the Carolina, the North 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 Carolina, the
my guess in terms of our league. My other
guess is that Scherzer goes 12
and Bumgarner goes 13. But I guess it could depend on who you take in the
first round. You remember back about, I want to say, 4 years, maybe even five.
I took Justin Verlander in the first round.
I took Steven Strasburg in the second round.
That was an absolute disaster.
Both of them had subpar seasons. And
basically take my fantasy people before I started.
Is there any combo of pitchers that you would get? Let's say you have a seventh pick. Eighth pick.
And all your favorite hitters are gone.
So you go to Kershaw.
Would you even consider a pitcher
in the second round?
Sure, I would consider especially an army. There's not that many options here. I think you could put it at six, and that'd be Kershaw, Senator, Bumgarner, and probably Luger. I mean, there's one other guy that's not as consistent. So, having two pitchers that can really take you apart from the rest of the league is a definite advantage. So if you come around on that second round and you're sitting there, I think it's something you've got to consider. But do you think that's going to put you so far behind on hitting that you can't catch up?
So what about, you know, you mentioned a player that I think is kind of intriguing, Nelson Cruz. Everyone's waiting for him to finally hit his age block, right?
What do you think? Do they do it a little more year?
Because Robinson can know. He almost won last year, so there's no reason Nelson Cruz can't do it again.
So this is about, I want to say, two years ago, I saw a really in-depth conversation with Nelson Cruz. I can't remember. I think it was in the interview with him, and kind of followed him around the mainframe. And like I said, I really saw how consistent the guy was, how rigid he was, his diet, and his workout. This is a guy who takes impeccable care of his body. So, like, absolutely. I mean, he is going to be pretty good in this year. So, definitely, he's up there, and he could have a drop off.
Especially in the stadium, you don't see a lot of home runs compared to other stadiums.
So, I think with the way they take care of themselves, and the other thing is, you're a good one, I still think they're very good at it. I mean, he was last 3 years, 43 homers last year, 40 the year before that.
He's a masher.
How many
more guys
really hit
300
Aaron Donato.
He's
done it too.
Yeah.
And that's the only chance to do it.
I guess it's Chris Davis, but I don't want to say that. I really like the guy in the last two or three years in our league. He's a lot later than you would think for a guy that's going to be a big player. I don't know why that is.
So another time question mark player, this guy back to a serious injury who two years ago was an absolute monster, and this year, last year he was trying to come back and he didn't quite do it, and that is AJ Pollock.
So what are we talking about, a guy who has potential, much like Trey Turner, right? He could do the 21 runs, 30 home runs, and 60 steals. What should we really do? Is this guy even close to that production level?
Really, I think he was. Who's that? Paul. One thing you got to remember is he's playing at Chase Field, which is not course, but it's a close second. So it is a really big stadium. So that's going to inflate his numbers some. But the steals, I think he's more of a 40 steal guy. Still very valuable. You know, 35, 40 steals. I think that partly plays his home run numbers. So, again, I think he's still a 20 homer guy. So, to me, he is a fringe second, third round player based on that potential. But I think he falls back at least in our league to maybe even the fourth round. Just based on that injury history.
Well, and I hate injury-prone players. Every time I take an injury-prone player, they go crazy. I mean, you've had really good luck in the past in taking injury-prone guys and having a great season.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen with me. Now, I don't know why that is, but that kind of always blows up in my face. Here's another question. Matt Harvey, okay, this guy, the Dark Knight, this guy had phenomenal years for a number of years in a row there, then had Tommy John surgery, came back and looked okay, but then last year fell off a cliff, and the numbers were disastrous. His speed on his fastball is reported to be back up to 97 miles an hour. Now, when you know you have a pitcher, a big part of their doing well is making sure that their the pitches on their speed, or the speeds on their pitches, are significantly different enough that they can be more successful. So if Matt Harvey really is throwing a really fast, hard fastball, then he could be regaining his form from before. Now, this guy is probably going as late as, well, I mean, with our league, it's so hard to say the way that people think. But
yeah, I mean, I think people, from what I've seen, he's ranked as a pitcher in that 35 to 55 range, which I think puts him 12th round. 10th to 12th round.
I can see that.
But with that talent and what he did a couple years ago, obviously there's a ton of upside. So, again, are you willing to take that risk, Mark?
And if I take that risk, you know what will happen, is that he will blow up in my face. So I probably won't take him unless he falls even lower than he probably should go. I would be more inclined to go after DeGrom again, even though DeGrom was not nearly as good as I'd hoped last year.
Yeah, DeGrom's been a little more consistent and put up the numbers for a little longer term. I feel more comfortable with a guy like DeGrom as well. But again, it's, you know, it's that risk versus reward. Do you want to take a risk on a guy that could possibly, you know, be a monster?
Absolutely. We have a group of pitchers that are all kind of going around at the same time. And this is Sean Manaea. He's a pitcher for the Oakland Athletics and had a very good year last year. Not a super strikeout guy, but he's a very good control pitcher. So he doesn't walk a lot of guys. Yeah, I guess that's another bad way to describe it. Yeah, I would go along with that. And so then we also have Jose Urias. This is the Dodger phenom who came up last year, got absolutely destroyed in his first two starts, and then looked pretty good. from there on out, once he had kind of gotten used to everything.
Never pitched much more than five innings, though.
No, and that actually, that brings back to mind Kershaw, right? Because Kershaw was like that a long time. I think he might be gone. And Kershaw, you know, had a really nice year as a young pitcher, but he had the same problem where he had a lot of difficulty going deep into games. And I actually had Kershaw a couple of those early years, and he was a fantastic pitcher to have. But he really didn't do anything for you in terms of long distance or going complete games or anything like that. But I think it's the same thing with Urias. I think that he's going to mostly be out of there by the sixth inning in most games. He's not going to start the season in the major. He's going to start in the minors, do short starts, maybe even do extended spring training, maybe do some relief appearances. But he's not going to be doing any full-time games. But the whole thought process for the Dodgers is that they'll have him at the end of the season. So I don't know if this is going to work for them in terms of if Urias is going to be what we're hoping that he can be. But I think that he's going to have a good season. There's two other pitchers that are right there. Actually, three. I apologize. So you also have John Gray. You have Matt Moore. And you have Matt Schumacher. So out of those three, actually out of those five, who do you think you take first?
I'm kind of a big Matt Moore fan. We saw what he did in the playoffs was that 3 or even 4 years ago when he was with Tampa. He was brought up halfway through the season and used more as a relief pitcher in the playoffs. I think you see his talent level mark with the strikeout ability, and then again, being on a good team is so important, giving him that chance to get some wins with that 10-point, you know, that's a huge swing in our 10-point W. So,
absolutely.
So I kind of like a Matt Moore there. He's just a little bit more of a proven commodity, but really all these guys that you mentioned are young arms. I think Urias may have the top potential. You know, he's more of a strikeout guy in that traditional power pitcher role. So I think, you know, he could be the best guy down the stretch. I think the best thing that could happen to the Dodgers is to see Urias pull a hammy or something, you know, so they can let him be on the DL perhaps.
Right, and that might actually be their thought process, right? You could always just say your guy was hurt and hope that he's able to get a few more starts in there. As far as pitching goes, I mean, there's a lot of late value in pitching. Like Garrett Richards, this is a guy who was fantastic. What do you think about
him? Well, I watched him pitch last night, actually, when he burned him up. They were playing... Who was it there? All the Dodgers. The three-way series came last night. So Garrett Richards was a great show, which is another guy that I'd like to touch on. Garrett Richards had a slight tear in his UCL.
And typically, players go through the process. And he just went through like the stem cell thing. And the platelet rich injection has been going through the actual process. And boy, the guy was going through 96-97 at the time. So another big proposition. Well, boy, with that upside and that potential, 200 strikeout pitcher, if you can hit it, what, 15 rounds? I mean, he could be going to play in 18 rounds. So, I love that.
Catchers don't really know what to do. And that's what these guys had in fantastic past seasons, that then the next year, you know, you can get over that. someone like a Correa, someone like a Turner.
But those are the players you have to look for.
Right? These are the bargains you have to look for. Bargains are what when you're idle.
Going on to kind of a forgotten player.
This is really an interesting one to me.
Is Jacoby Ellsbury.
He is supposed to start.
Now his numbers took an absolute wretched tumble. I think the Yankees don't want to hold him because this guy is a fortune.
But there's another player down there that might be good.
And we'll see what the Yankees do about that, which is not really the state of the Yankees for a long time.
Seventh year, you're in the five-ten, so you're five years, same thing. And arbitration is a really weird thing. I don't really even understand exactly how the arbitration works.
I just know that's why you see a lot of players not come up to play until halfway through May or early June. And that's because if they go past a certain date, they're no longer eligible, that's one more year of arbitration off. And if people know what arbitration is, that is where a player is passed a written contract, but he's restricted, he doesn't really have the opportunity to go wherever he wants. And what happens is the player files for arbitration, they get an arbitration level deal, and what they do is they go to the arbitrator, and the arbitrator goes in with the agent, and the agent says,
This is how much the player's worth.
The team says this is how much that guy is worth.
The arbiter doesn't choose a number in between.
He goes all with one or all with the other. So you can see some drastic changes, that guy is worth four.
The arbiter says, well, let's just say six and a half million.
They just say, no, you're right, you're only worth four.
Oh, you're right, you're worth ten.
So that's what teams are trying to avoid. Because it can give you one more team here.
The judge tends to go with the big corporate team more often than they do with the player. Now, I would say it's more than 60 to 55, where they move over the team. But I think Dylan Hernandez was a good example. If you look at him over the last 3 years, how many of these are striking out over 100 guys? You know, not
Sure.
Sure.
And
it's
all
about
whether
or not
the
pitching
they're really
going
to bring them around.
As
far
as
the
hitter,
there's a couple of guys I
don't
want
to let's go with
Well,
I would say Dansby
Swanson,
but I'm not even sure that counts as a sleeper anymore. I think he's kind of got a little too much.
He's got a little too much hype, I guess.
So how about Jose? I don't think he's a sleeper either.
Boy. You know what?
The line of the shield.
There you go. The son of the great Rhino.
Fell off last year severely in Texas.
But he's got the talent, and you try to take too much into account when you're watching spring training, right? Because people don't realize that a lot of times you're not taking the whole lineup of hitters, and in terms of the hitters, you're always taking the pitch to the screen, or a cutter, or a sinker. So I'm going to throw that
80% of the time, even though I haven't
perfected it yet. People are going to see, oh, this guy looks terrible. No, he looks fine. He's trying to develop another pitch, and you don't want to do that against live hitters, and you can do that in spring training.
So never follow those levels of spring training numbers. They don't mean anything.
You'll see a guy with a non-level spring training at the end of the Absolutely.
You've got a guy who's trying so hard to make a team.
He's focused like crazy.
While the pitcher out there is just
kind
of casually trying to figure things out.
So it's not going to be an accurate representation.
So how about a hitter and pitcher for you?
Here we go. Give me a quick little name game and tell me who you would think.
Brian Dozier.
Robinson Cano.
I think Robinson Cano. I think Robbie Cano has just done so much. How about Robbie Cano, Daniel Murphy?
Oh, Robbie Cano. Really?
Even though Daniel Murphy's been showing some screen, I got a romance with Daniel Murphy. Really? Oh boy, I got a romance with Daniel Murphy. Really? And Freddie Freeman or David Epinal Fionn.
I like the Bulls. I think that was just a little bit more consistent. Okay. How are we going to have a big breakout here? Well, Freeman had a big breakout here last year. Maybe that was the guy's career. And then he's still being a player. Just not. Could be. He's another guy who's consistently.
But the Braves lineup has considerably improved. So, I mean, the numbers are very close. And how about Xander Bogaerts or Francisco Lindor?
I think Lindor has a little bit more style.
But I also think Bogaerts is a little bit better of a team. Although I think he's very good. I think I go a little bit better of a slight edge.
Gotcha. I like it.
Let's cover a couple of guys that are really big question marks right now.
David Price.
Where do you find this guy?
So, people who don't know,
he's got an elbow problem.
Okay, and it's related
to his UCL,
which is dreaded Tommy John surgery
that took you out
for 16
months.
The UCL is basically the ACL to football. What do you think?
I mean, this guy could do damage good.
So what round do you take him in?
And what do you really expect in terms of next?
Oh, we got our security.
Well, you got those dangerous mailmen coming by.
I mean, you only got one tenth of what he's got, and I mean that in terms of how long.
He only gets two months worth of pitching.
He can still be two months of eight pitches.
Absolutely, this is one of the best pitchers in the league the last few years.
Even though he's terrible. Another guy who's looking frightening. I don't know what his injury is. I don't know if it's an oblique or what his power is. I can't remember what it is. I just know it's not looking good. He may not start Darcy Chira.
Same thing with David Price.
The guy may not start this year.
I mean, he's a guy who does not start, or maybe starts in the DL.
There are no guarantees.
That guy may bottom out.
So what do you think? Do you even take a chance, or do you wait for Graham on the waiver wire when he's got an empty spot?
Welcome to the Ascensus. So everybody knows this is our buddy from Oregon. And he's one of our commissioners.
Sorry, I'm going to have so much of an echo going on. We're doing like two blue tabs. So anyway, so I am now helping in the draft reorder. So as you can see, if you look at our current draft room, this is last year's draft reorder. Then it went to Weirdo, then we had Jeff, then we had Brad. Then we had Corey, then we had Joe, then we had Chavez, then we had Andrew, then we had Josh Warden, then we had Bagley. So that was our list last year. We're going to do the brand new set of draft order right now. This is going to be exciting to see how bad of a draft the guy I'm going to get. So, generating a draft order. Why wouldn't that be something? Okay, I think it should be done. Let me open the window here and see what bad pick I got.
Drum roll.
It worked.
As long as you have the number one pick, it'll work.
Oh, interesting.
Well, of course, I got a late pick again. That's what I always do. So, my brother has got the number one pick. Well done, Andrew. Number two pick is Horton. Number four pick is Nate Dogg right here. So you got a nice little pick. In fact, that might be the best pick of the draft. Again, we will review our draft here and get fantasy draft grades for all of our team mates, and we will review our draft here and get fantasy draft grades for all of our team mates. So again, Nate, thank you for having me. I look forward to talking to the listeners tomorrow. All right. Well, thanks so much, everyone. Have a fantastic draft. We'll see you all in the room. And I'm going to repeat this year in honor of this podcast, baby.
Excellent. Well done, Hal.